Welcome to The Bridge, Your Health, Your Voice, the official podcast for the University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Pharmacy Patients Program. The Patients Program is the bridge between the community and researchers. The Patients Program created this partnership to help researchers listen to the community's voice in order to build a bridge to an effective learning healthcare community. Here's your host, Rodney Elliott.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rodney Elliott, host of The Bridge, and I am excited about our guest today. For folks who have been following the Patients Program, whether you follow us here on The Bridge or maybe even on social media, you maybe heard and saw where the Patients Program is actually going national. You'll probably hear a little bit more about that from Dr. Mullins, Executive Director, myself. But today you may even hear a little bit about the importance of Patients Program going national and some of the support that we have. Right? Because we can't do this alone, and to partner with organizations and members of the community who believe in the work that we do as well is very helpful for the Patients Program. And today I have none other than Deepa Lala here to talk to us about her role at AstraZeneca, but also the importance or why it was important for a group like AstraZeneca to partner with the Patients Program. Not only in our going national initiative, but they've also been supportive of some of the other stuff we've done, particularly pertaining to the Patients Professors Academy. But again, before we get into our conversation, I'll just give you a brief little bio, so to speak, of Deep. She wears many, many hats, so she'll probably be much better, well-versed to share a little bit more about what her role is, but she's an accomplished professional in the field of health, economics, and medical affairs, currently serving as Vice President of Evidence Generation, Publications, and Partnerships at AstraZeneca. Again, Deepa, I might have butchered that. I might have did say everything, because if I look online or even I go back some of our emails, you wear many, many hats for AstraZeneca. So before we get into our conversation today, welcome. I'd like to give you this opportunity to share a little bit of who you are and kind of add a little bit to the role that you play at AstraZeneca.
Absolutely. First of all, Rodney, thank you very much for having me. I've been a big fan of the Patients Program and anything we can do to support it and make it national. We are very excited here at AZ. So at AstraZeneca, just really briefly, I run a number of teams called, you know, as you said, evidence generation, publications, partnerships. But our core mission, our focus is to generate evidence that can be used to help inform patient care and improve outcomes. We sit in the medical affairs organization, and what we like to say is we are working on the next generation of evidence generation. And that means having patients in our trials that are more representative, that are actually answering the questions we want to answer accurately, not just for a subset of patients, engaging not just our important academic centers, but also our community sites, so that we can get more representative patients in our trials, in our real-world research, et cetera, and then ensuring that's communicated appropriately with publications as well. So I see a wonderful fit between our mission and your goals as well. So very happy to be here.
Thank you, Deepa. That kind of reminds me back to when I first started the Patients Program about 7 years ago as the community engagement specialist, when I had the opportunity to go out to the community and engage or mingle, so to speak, meet the community where they are. And when I would explain to them or share with them my role as the engagement specialist, trying to educate folks on the importance of having a seat at the table when it comes to research, a word came up when I was one time out in the community, and the community member mentioned, well, what do you guys do to approach health equity? So it kind of goes back to my first question. How does the work at AstraZeneca ensure that health equity is truly embedded in their work rather than just a buzzword?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think one of the reasons I love working here, I've been here 2.5 years, is because our company and our senior leadership really walks the walk on health equity in ensuring that it's not just patients enrolled in our trial. Every patient should have access to a trial, regardless of where we're coming from or your socioeconomic status and anything else, but also doing things to ensure that we can have patients who may not otherwise have access to screening, testing, treatment, get that. We have a very interesting initiative in the Appalachians to try to ensure lung cancer screening. and a number of other things as well. So I think from that perspective, really enjoy. It's not just our treatments, it's the entire spectrum of care that we are focused on, and in an appropriate fashion, right, within the guardrails that we have. But what can we do to help inform and ensure that patients are getting the right treatment, no matter their zip code or socioeconomic status or ethnicity?
I think that was one of the first jewels that I learned after I had an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with one of those community members at that health fair. But then even after that was, after I talked to them about the patient's program being a research infrastructure, and they kind of got out of their mind that we wanted to treat them like a guinea pig, or we were just coming there with our hands out and asking for something. No, we want to actually include you guys from the very beginning. So part of that is learning from you. You guys learning from us. Again, we talk about bi-directional learning a lot here at the patient's program. So understanding that, or having a way to for our community members to understand that, again, it's not just that one transactional moment. We're talking about the whole process. So to me, that's authentic community engagement.
Yeah.
So when I pose that question to you, what does authentic community engagement look like from the lens of you and your team over there at AstraZeneca? And what motivates the organization to build those long-term trusts with the communities?
Yeah. Oh, I think if I can just step back, I think most of us are here because we want to ensure better patient outcomes for everyone. Right?
Correct.
And I think, you know, there are two things Daniel Mullen says that always influence me. No one wants to be a CEO, or, you know, you want to scoop in, do your research and leave, because this is about a longer term partnership and relationship. And slightly differently, but still that influenced me was, you know, him mentioning to me, because we run within oncology, the medical affairs trials teams. And something he said in our very first conversation was, you know, the person offering the patient the trial has such an impact, right? And just trying to understand what that looks like and how we can actually improve enrollment outcomes, which marries beautifully with the patient professors program, which empowers patients, if you would, to ensure that they are getting the best care that they could get, and asking the right questions, to me, felt like a perfect marriage, if you would, for shared goals.
When we talk about that perfect marriage, or when we talk about that impact, right? Dr. Mullins talks about that a lot, not only to sponsors or not only to community members, but just in general, it's kind of embedded in what the patient's program is and does. But we know it's not easy, though. It's not totally digestible, to be quite honest, or easily digestible to whom you're talking. So you have to find ways to work around those barriers. So does... what are some of the biggest challenges, or biggest barriers, I should say, that your team has not only recognized, but worked through, had the opportunity to kind of work through with the particular group that you were looking to, again, improve health outcomes?
Yep. I think for us, it's the constant need for education and everyone who touches the trial or the patients, right? From that perspective, like, this is actually really important to us. And even communicating that a few times, I think, has been really helpful in what we've seen. You know, Professor Unger's research on, like, the Just Ask has been really helpful for us as well, because we do see people making decisions on behalf of others, saying, no, they wouldn't be interested, and just things like that. And I think that has been very helpful for us as well. And I think the final thing that's been a bit of a learning is, it's not as hard as we might think it is. Like, people actually willing to do this. People want to do this, but they don't often know how. So simplifying it a little bit has helped a lot as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I have tons of examples about what you just mentioned, about it not being as hard as it seems. But a lot of times it may be time. Time is what could be the challenging part, right?
And I don't want to downplay the hardness, because I think the one thing we have not yet solved, which we need to solve, and we need to do this thing, is there is a distrust of the medical community. What could be it from history, right? And we have not solved that yet. We are on the way to solving that. But that's the first step, if you would, into building the long-term relationship, is to build that trust and understand that this is not a transactional ask, but this is a long-term, mutually beneficial relationship.
Deepa, you hit the nail on the head right there, right? I mean, I've been here 7 years. And again, what I mentioned earlier about me maybe having some challenges when I first went into the community 7 years ago, don't get me wrong, I may still have challenges, or I don't think it's going to be easy when I go out to the community, you know, in this spring when the weather breaks, right? Because be quite honest, I've been through stages. I mean, I was started before the pandemic and then I started afterwards. So that was a huge moment where some of the trust that I may have or we have as a team have established in said community happened prior to the pandemic. But then during and afterwards, we kind of had to go back and do a refresher for some folks, for some groups, some organizations on both sides, community members and researchers. But I think because we can hang our hat on our relationship that we have had in the past to say that, you know what, they do things differently. They do things authentically. They give a voice to the voiceless, and they partner with organizations and groups that understand that concept as well. So, yes, I don't want to think that it's easy or...
I didn't mean to downplay that.
As a patients program, we sit right in the middle between both researchers on one side and community members. So we just got to make sure that makes sense. So how do you guys balance the research and then making sure, again, that you're getting some real findings that, that can really work for these said communities?
So I love this question because it actually allows us to marry the work of two of our teams. We have a team that runs clinical trials, and then we have a team that does real-world research. And by definition of the nature of the data sets, the access that the real-world research team has to patients is larger in number, right? Because it's not clinical trial focused. And we are able to get numbers or patient numbers of enough magnitude, if you would, in all the different subgroups for us to marry it back and say, we saw this trend, right, in this particular trial, or we didn't have enough patients in this particular trial who were of this particular subgroup. Let's look at the real world and see what that looks like. And its magnitudes, right? Because how many patients do you enroll in a clinical trial? Not that many. How many patients do you have in the US? 300 million plus. Now, we don't have access to all the data, but we have access to large data sets, right?
Yeah.
That we can appropriately look at that. And we are actually looking at methods to say, can we use some of that real-world data to supplement our clinical trials, have real-world control arms, right? Blow it out in groups that we may not be able to get enough enrollment because we need... You know, you and I will metabolize things differently, right?
Correct.
You need to understand what those outcomes look like and how we're handling this and what, more importantly, the safety looks like in those subgroups. So by marrying the data from both clinical trials but also real-world data, we're able to get a more comprehensive picture of you know, whatever research question we need to ask.
I like that, Deepa, and I'm going to stay right there a little bit because you talked about we metabolize information differently. And I use that analogy as a coach. You know, I'm a coach. Every player on my team probably doesn't take direction the same way. So you got to find a way to communicate so they can understand, because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. We're trying to win. And you talked about your role as being the lead on different departments. How has the messaging been from your role to all the teams to make sure that at the end of the day, we want to make sure we're all on the same page, but also be a little bit flexible about how you go about delivering in your work? How has that marriage, so to speak, been for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful because I work with a wonderful team. So I have to say I'm very lucky and biased here. We're already aligned on where we're going. And as a leadership team, we're always talking about where we need to go. And then all of us find different ways to get there. And that's the creativity you don't want to stifle, right? But I think where we need to go, we all, you know, at the beginning of every year, we sit down and say, all right, this is what we focus on as a larger team. And then each function within focuses on it. I report to Bob Lee, who's the head of Global Medical, who is also laser focused on ensuring we do the right thing with all the different groups. So there's a lot of good for my leadership as well.
I love that laser focus approach, because in this space, you need to have a goal. You need to have a destination, right?
Yeah.
Who is just benefiting both sides, again, the researchers and the community members that you're working with. And part of that is establishing these partnerships, which brought us to this conversation today, right? I met with you in person right before the holiday, right after the holidays. I can't remember. It's been such a long time. But we had an opportunity to meet together and talk about where the Patience program is going with this Going National initiative. And we're taking our special recipe for the work that we do here and have had a lot of success here in Baltimore. We're extending it to different communities. So we are in search of, I know this heavy lift for my end, of new partnerships in these new communities. But I want to ask you a question about role of partnerships, specifically with academic institutions, community organizations, the Patience program. How does that play in advancing health equity and research? But then talk a little bit about Patience program specifically, about how our relationship can also advance in health equity as well.
I'm very excited to see it rolling out nationally. I think when I first learned about it, and we are trying a lot and we are doing a lot to ensure that we are enrolling appropriate patients in our trials, right? And this is something, like I mentioned, I'm privileged to work here because our senior leadership, this is what I heard when I first started at AZ. Like, you hear this and everyone walks the walk on it.
Yeah.
And I think that expanding this out is going to really give us an opportunity to, you know, selfishly, I'll say, improve the enrollment in our trials, but also make sure that we are enrolling the patients we really need to enroll. 70% of patients in oncology are treated in the community setting, right? We need to go and we need to get information from who the real patients are. In addition, you know, of course, we keep continuing to partner with a large academic because they do a lot of cutting-edge research and really amazing science. So both sides have something to offer. And I think the Patience program going national is going to help us from both ends. I think it's a win-win-win. It's a win for patients. I think it's a win for the program, and it's definitely a win for AZ as well.
Deepa, heading into one of our last questions, we're going to talk about the steps for researchers and healthcare professionals and even everyday individuals, what they take to support health equity in their own work and communities. From your role as a leader over numerous teams, what advice maybe can you give to a researcher who's new to authentic community engagement? A healthcare professional who, let's say, for example, maybe they have a lot on their plate and they want to do different work but don't know who to trust. And then an everyday community member, a patient, right? Kind of ask this question selfishly for me, because as I am going into these new communities, I'm always looking for tips and tools on how to engage authentically and gather their attention. So from your perspective and your role as the leader over different teams, what advice can you give to that researcher, healthcare professional, and everyday individual on needing their support for health equity?
Yeah, I think so. As a researcher myself, I'll start there. I think what was really super eye-opening for me is the amount of really good science and research this already. So learning and listening with open mind to different angles, and then actually having the one-on-one conversations helped me understand the nuances better than I had initially hoped for. I think for professionals who are very busy, right? If you're a healthcare professional and you're seeing a bunch of patients, I think they have the hardest road in some ways, because things are busy and you're trying to do right by everyone, but sometimes you take the easy way out.
Yeah.
Way out is not the right way out. What I will say, I don't know, and this may be slightly provocative, but I actually wonder if technology could help them think that way differently, right? To have some nudges in their systems, to have something there saying, hold on a second, this is a patient that may be metabolizing this enzyme differently, right? To have those nudges built into their system that allows them to do the right thing for the different patient. I feel tech could help. I'm not sure exactly how. I do think that being just sensitized to that periodically, because if it's a one and done, you tend to forget. But being sensitized to that periodically may also keep it near front of mind, so you're more likely to react and adapt as you need to. And then I think for the patients, it's we have a history, especially in this country, of science being done unfairly. But I think everyone is really trying to do the right thing.
Wrong.
Yes. Help outcomes, right? It does help us understand as a scientific community what we need to do. And I think giving that chance and that trust. And this is where partnering with reputable programs like the patients program is actually helpful. It's a win-win because you're a trusted intermediary, if you would, from that perspective as well. And you will keep us honest. I know that, right? No, you will keep us honest. But then it's also for patients in the community, one less barrier for them, because then they have a trusted partner that they can work with.
Yes, keeping you honest is something that we know everything about because our community members keep us honest. Our advisory community keep us honest. Folks are quick to, again, applaud us for the work that we do, but they will come to us with questions and they will come to us when things aren't going specifically great for their community. And we understand that because we have taken the time to sit with a community member. We have taken the time to meet a researcher where they are or talk on Zoom, explain them the importance of, again, you have to spend time with this community, right? And we understand that a caregiver may have so many things to do that when we're asking them to take out a part of their time to help us or be quite honest, speak for us, because one thing I like to share with my community members is that when you do have an opportunity to engage with a researcher or someone who is an expert in their field, because you can know that by all the letters behind their names, PhD, MD, et cetera, you are an expert in your field as well as a community member from your lived experiences. And I think it's that right there that when we do have them meet together, that there's an understanding that, hey, we're all in this together. We all metabolize it a little bit differently. But let's just take the time to listen effectively. Yep. Let's take the time to understand. And then let's come together and see where we can go from there. So that is overall how I like to approach it. It seems like in the conversation that we've had and you've had with Dr. Mullins about the patients program and where we're going is aligned with that as well. So I'm excited about going national. I really am. Really am.
As well. Very excited.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been chit-chatting and having an awesome conversation with Deepa Lala. Again, she wears many, many hats over there at AZ, as she liked to affectionately call, but I'm going to call it AstraZeneca. And if you're watching this, we just recorded this the day after the Super Bowl, and she has on a red shirt. Just to let everyone know, this is not for Kansas City.
No.
The San Francisco 49er fan. So she, like myself as a Raven fan, I had a little bit of joy in the fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl this year. So,
More than a little bit.
More than a little bit. Deepa, thank you. I really appreciate the time today. Conversation was great. And I know we'll see each other, whether it's on Zoom or maybe in person sometime soon.
Looking forward, Rodney. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge. Your health, your voice. To learn more about the Patients Program, visit our website at www.patients.umaryland.edu.